This message is brought to you by DoNotAge.org, the longevity research organisation that's on a mission to extend health span for as many people as possible via products that actually work. Start your journey today at DoNotAge.org and use code LLAMA for a 10% discount. That's LLAMA.
Quadriceps, sit down. Come on, sit down. 4, 3, 2, here we go.
I've had an opportunity to interact with a 93-year-old woman. And you know what I found? To the person. Everybody wants one more time. Let me see, one more day. Give me some longevity. Help me to walk. Help me get out of this chair. You know, help me to breathe. Help me to be strong. Then I got a 95-year-old who comes to the gym and still wants to be strong. You got some 84-year-olds. You got some 70s, 88s. I mean, so all of these people are trying to hold on to this notion of longevity and pro-aging. They're not ready. They still got some more stuff. You and I got some more stuff left.
Come on, work it.
Hello again, welcome to the Live Long and Master Aging podcast. My name is Peter Bowes, with me is Nate Wilkins. We're recording this at the Live Long Summit in beautiful West Palm Beach in Florida. Nate is a exercise coach and author based in Miami, just down the road, about an hour away, and a second time appearance for you, Nate, on the Live Long and Master Aging podcast. Great to see you again.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, Peter, thanks so much for the opportunity to get together again to share some thoughts around what you and I and most of us think is probably one of the most significant things in our lifetime right now.
Well, it is. And what I've noticed is the explosion in interest in human longevity. We're at this summit this weekend, and this word longevity really seems to be getting through to people, and the concept that there are interventions that we can use. And your intervention, the one that I always put at the top of my list, is exercise, but there's, of course, much more than that as well.
I think that all of that's significant, and like I shared with you, Peter, that perhaps I'm not going to say anything new, that I might say it differently, and I hope through these conversations we can get across to people that at the very basics, at the very beginning of the conversation, we need a foundation, and that foundation is, you know, physical activity, movement, or what we call, some don't like it, but exercise. So that's the premise I want to start from.
And you describe your form of exercise as an ageless workout. Just tell me again, what do you mean when you talk about being ageless?
So let's take a look at the definition, if you will. So, you know, what I would suggest is that we start at the back end of the spectrum, right? That we start where we want to be. Plan for that life. But then here, we also plan for if we have family, if we have children, right? We plan for them to come across. So it's a continuum. And so the ageless workout, while we focus on, you know, people who are active in aging, you know, people like you and me who are 40, 50, 60, 70s, that's our largest population. But we also are concerned about the ones that come behind, their children. The children are watching, right? And so I remember my son saying something like this. That's what dad does. He was watching me. He not what I told him, he was watching what I was doing.
I hear what you say. Let's dive into that a little bit more, but maybe just backtrack as well. And if anyone wants to listen to Nate's first interview that we did, it's episode 199 of the podcast. And if you look at the show notes for this particular episode, there'll be a link to this and you can go straight to it. But let's just recap a little bit your journey to exercise and fitness, because as far as your own life has been concerned, it hasn't always been that way, has it?
You know, it's interesting. You would think that that's the case, right? But somehow we go from one thing to the next. You know, I've been an athlete, you know, played sports. And then later on, after I graduated, like my mother and my grandparents told me to do, go to school, get a good education, get a good job. You know, worked parks, recreation departments all across the country. And so one would think, it with that background, that I would be in better shape. I mean, got mixed up with my friends, you know, drinking, eating, and, you know, somewhere it got off track. Next thing I know, I'm, you know, going through some changes with the hospital. Had sense enough to know that I had to go and get checked out. Heart problems. As soon as I got out of there, I said, I'm going to change, exercise. How about that?
And how big a difference did it make to your life?
You know, I wish I could show you some of the images. I had gotten up to somewhere about 240 pounds, jolly cheeks and stuff like that. I like to show that to people. But then once I decided, see, this is where the rubber meets the road. You know, sometimes in crisis, and if we don't make a change in crisis, we can let it go. But I was in the middle of something that I couldn't control, and I thought I had control over everything. But my health, you know, when your health starts to fail you, you know, you grab for anything. Give me one more day. So I got into, walking. From walking, I went to riding. From riding, I went to teaching. From teaching, I went to overall learning as much as I can. Got it. You know, it's one thing when you get in it. It's another thing when it gets into you.
And it's got into you in a big way. And you've made this not only a lifestyle, but you've made it a business as well. You work in Miami with your partner, Sheba, who yes. We've also spoken to on the podcast. Just give me a basic outline of what you do, what kind of clients you educate, and what your day looks like.
Yeah, so thanks. That's a good question, Peter. You know, we love to work with everybody. And so what we found through our experience at Fisher Island is that we are the world, that we get a chance to mix with people from all over the world. And so Fisher Island is that piece of the puzzle. But then we also work virtually because of the pandemic. So we have a hybrid model, so we still get a chance to reach even more. And then we have a newsletter that we send out to what we call the tribe. And so these people have now gone out to other places, and that's how we stay linked up. And you know how important a community is. And one of the things that I do on Fisher Island is I teach a class, a boot camp class. And that's where a lot of the people gather, 8 o'clock in the morning. Not only for the class, but to the social interaction, but also get into adverse situations where they have to challenge their bodies. So we work with high net worth individuals in that situation, you know, very high net worth individuals. But we also have a way to work with the masses as well. And that's one of the conversations I want to hold with you.
You describe the people you work with as your tribe. Now, is there more than just a word there? That is a way of thinking that you're all together in this. And you mentioned social interactions as well as being important for encouragement. I wouldn't say peer pressure, but certainly peer enthusiasm to do this, because you're doing it by yourself. It isn't always easy, is it?
Yeah. So you just hit on one of the keys to this whole idea that what we're talking about is creating a culture, a new next level culture of wellness for pro-aging and longevity. So putting together culture. And so the culture, again, I want to allude back to what I told you before, the children are watching. So you start to make sure your children are part of this wellness journey as you make or you matriculate through your journey, that you stand up taller, that you eat better, that you sleep better, because they will do what you do, not what you say. And so we want to pass that on then to, you know, we got grandmothers and grandfathers. So everybody is sort of living at a different standard or level. That's what we're talking about. And I think we can all get there. Now, you know, some would say that, Nate, that's pie in the sky. Shut up, Todd. You know, you're not going to get there. But Peter, you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about. And one of your big enthusiasms is to incorporate mental health into physical exercise, that the two are not separate concerns. They absolutely go hand in hand. Explain to me what your theory is and how we can benefit in terms of our mental health by boosting our physical health.
So while I would love to take the credit for this, I've written some because I've, you know, during the pandemic, it gave me an opportunity to just go through my mind. I thought I was going to go crazy, you know, trying to figure out what to do. And so one of the ways that I dealt with that was to put it down in writing and then turn it into that book called How to Be an Adaptive Navigator, or If You See a Turtle on a Stump, Somebody Put Them There. We can talk about that later. But what what really happens, Peter, is that we start to evolve differently, right? After the pandemic, we get a different look at ourselves and the world, and perhaps, you know, things that were important before are not as important, and we get to drill down on a small piece.
Well, the pandemic changed everything for so many people, and this phrase keeps coming back to me: existing physical conditions of ill health that made those people more vulnerable to the virus during the condition, and I think made a lot of people aware that they are carrying around existing conditions that are preventable. Mm-hmm. And that's putting it as bluntly as I can, that many of the modern day diseases that can ultimately lead to the end of life, mm-hmm, are preventable. And exercise comes absolutely at the top of the list, alongside a balanced diet, a moderate diet, and plenty of good sleep. I think those, for me at least, are the three key pillars to good health. But the pandemic just focused our minds, mm-hmm, on the need to maintain that basic good level of health.
Mm-hmm. So you hit the nail on the head. I mean, you really nail the game changer. The business of exercise, the business of movement, physical activity, along with nutrition, those two go hand in hand. You change lives that way. And so you and I, if we're doing that consistently, now let's be honest. Can we be honest now?
I
gotta
hope
be
you
consistent
are.
With this thing. So day in and day out. And the older we get, the more we have to push against something. The more we have to push against something, because remember, our muscles start to break down, right? So we want to make sure, and I want to be clear. I don't want to run anybody away. I'm trying to invite some people, because we know that there's people like you and I. 20% of us are gonna do the exercise, but there's another 80% that don't even want to hear about it. So how do you look at a 24-hour cycle and get them to move? And so you bring everybody into the equation. Right. And so if we're talking about mental health, see, in order to get this fixed, you have to go in here, too, first. So and there's all types of studies right now. And I would love to take credit for it. But there's this movement going on right now around exercise, you know, as a form of medicine. So we already talked about other forms. Right. We know that they're linking up with the mental health piece. Mental well-being piece. I think there's a new certification, but that's not what we're talking about. But I'm saying to you that this is a conversation for people all over the world.
And what comes first in terms of mental health, brain health, and physical health? Is there a first, or are they so intertwined that really we can't maximize one without the other? And what I'm thinking of is the motivation to exercise, that there has to be that idea in our minds that it's going to benefit us and that we need to do it pretty much every day, that we need to be consistent. We can't exercise for a week and then lose interest. Mm-hmm. And to achieve that, we need to have the right, do you agree, the right mindset?
I agree with you, Peter, that we have to have the right mindset. But I would put a pin in that here and say that rather than look at exercise, look at physical activity. Look at how you move and start measuring that. And then start to look at, should I go to the gym? Because some people think that the gym is where it's at, right? If you don't go to the gym, you don't get any activity. That's not true. But what we're saying now is that we need those people to move from activity into some pushing and some pulling against adversity, because the body, again, needs some adversity. So that's where we're coming from. And then you can move on, because, you know, it's hard in the beginning. It's messy in the middle. And then at the end, you fall in love and you don't even need me anymore. You'll be looking at me like, what, look, I'll see you at the gym. That's the cycle.
And how do you assess the current state of population-wide attitude towards movement? We've talked about the pandemic and how that may have changed some minds and some attitudes towards doing the kind of movement that you talk about. But there's still a tremendous amount of work to do, isn't there? population-wide. Look at how many unhealthy, overweight, obese Americans here in this city of West Palm Beach.
Yes.
Not everyone is super healthy. It might have the image of that,
right,
but it certainly isn't the case. So what is necessary, do you think, to do to try to persuade more people that this is a better lifestyle?
Well, here's what I know, and I've seen some interesting signage that says the best activity for this kind of conversation, exercise, movement, physical activity, is the one you'll do. So if you like to fish, if you like cycling, you know, do that, more of that, and then add other pieces. So what I'm suggesting is that, and I'm not the first to say this, we need to meet people where they are. And you know, it's not my program. And so if I come up with a program for you, Peter, and it's about what I do, it doesn't fit for you, you're not going to do it. You're more apt not to do it. If I say to you, Peter, you run like 15 miles and you hate running, why would you do that? So it really gets down to your better understanding and personalized things that we can do to really help and meet people where they are.
You mentioned your book and that turtle and the stump.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you write that book and what's the main thesis?
One is we need to recognize opportunity. So everything that happens to us, we say, may be happening for us. And so the way we look at things, if we change the way we look at things, the things we look at change, right? So focus, look at how do you focus on the positive of, because we can always look at the adversity. I didn't come here to identify problems with you. We can do that all day long. But where's the opportunity and how can we fix it? And so that's what this is all about, is how to become an adaptive navigator. How do we look at situations relative to our health? Is it my job to take better care of myself? You better bet. You better believe it. So what do I do? Learn more? I'm here today because I want to learn as much. I'm here for the next 2 days. I'm going to be a sponge, because while I think I know some things, what I know is I don't know. And so I want to know some more. Right. So that's the stuff that I'm getting at.
Which areas of, let's say, more broadly, health and fitness? You're an expert in exercise, stroke, movement. What are the other areas do you think that are less understood and perhaps less publicized that we could benefit? Now, we're at this 2-day conference where we will both learn a lot about other potential interventions. But is there something in your mind that's maybe outside of your comfort zone that you're curious about that actually could help us?
Yeah, I'm curious about so many things because there's so many new things happening. We just got back from a conference in Los Angeles, IHRSA, one of the largest conferences, and we saw so much that I could just go on and on. The AI that was involved in some of the exercise equipment is just mind-boggling. And so I can't just stop at one thing, but let me tell you that what's intriguing for me is the therapy that you can use at this age. How do you recover? And so I use foam rolling, stretching, which is a different style of stretching that I use for my clients. Mobility, flexibility. So I've looked at a number of ways to help my clients age better. That's the conversation we're holding, is that how do you age better? And the things that we used to do, we like to do those, but how do you add to that and make sure that you are putting your body in the best position to come back and do it time and time again?
In the back of my mind in posing that question is the idea that, as I've mentioned, the pillars for me are exercise, diet, and sleep. And yes, there's a lot of other things that we can consider. AI is fascinating. But, and I hesitate to put a percentage on it, but I will. Mm-hmm. I would say 90% is movement, diet, and sleep. And those, do you agree with this, that is still, despite whatever else, whatever the other interventions are, that's what we still need to focus on.
And we'll continue this conversation in just a moment.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we're the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
Peter, I couldn't have said it any better. I'm gonna actually borrow that the next time when I get on an interview. I'm gonna say, I'll put it like you did, and then I say, but Peter gave that to me. But what I'm saying is, Peter, everything that we do needs a foundation, and you're talking about those foundational pieces that go with this, and that's what we're saying in this culture that we're looking to build. Is that you need a foundation. And so foundation is the mind, right? And the community. And these would be the bigger pieces of the puzzle, and then all these other things fall into that. Now, we got this model from Duke University, their World of Health. And so if it's good enough for Duke and Dr. Ralph Snyderman, who we visited with on Fisher Island, if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for what we're talking about, is how do you build this sense, a new sense of community around wellness and for extended life? And some people are afraid of that, incidentally. They're like, what are we going to do with all those people? How are we going to pay them? So that's a whole other conversation.
But the phrase extended life can be misleading, can't it? Some people think when you talk about life extension, you're talking about radical, dramatic life extension, aspiring to live to 150 or 200 years old. I don't think you're talking about that, and that's not what I talk about. Life extension to me is health span life extension. It is living that optimum life without chronic diseases to maybe 80 or 90 or 100, as opposed to, for some people, 65, 70, 75. It's just adding extra healthy years. That is the goal. That's the initial goal. It's nothing radical about this. It's built around common sense, but it could make such a transformative difference to so many people's lives.
Right. So along those lines, I've had an opportunity to interact with a 93-year-old woman, and what I found to the person, everybody wants one more time. Let me stay one more day. Give me some longevity. Help me to walk. Help me get out of this chair. Help me to breathe. Help me to be strong. Then I got a 95-year-old who comes to the gym and still wants to be strong. You got some 84-year-olds. You got some 70s and 88s. I mean, so all of these people are trying to hold on to this notion of longevity and pro-aging. They're not ready. They still got some more stuff. You and I got some more stuff left.
Well, a lot of these people, they're so young in their minds, and that's it. You talk to a 90-year-old, talk to a 100-year-old, and they say, it's a woman, I'm still a girl. I still think like a young person. And they might be constrained by the physicality of being older. And that's where movement and exercise, and crucially, you can explain this to me, the importance of strength exercise, of resistance training for older people to prevent that frailty that prevents those older people from living like they were still a teenager.
Mm-hmm. So there's a professor at UM, Joseph Signorelli, who has a book, Bending the Curve. It's a guide for older people in an exercise. And so we've been following his work. And it's interesting that you bring that up in terms of power and strength. So some, especially as you get older, would say that's, they don't want to have any, pushing or stuff that challenges their muscles, which is the exact opposite of what they should have. And we know that we've seen some of our clients actually hit their personal with, just a one push with a leg, or one push with a chest press, and they grow from that. Now, you know, some of them, I hate it, I don't want to do it, but, you know, little by little, we're getting some of our older minded and older bodied people into more of the resistance or strength and power. So we're seeing that. And based on this model that I talked to you about with Dr. Signorelli.
Let's talk about you for a little bit. You've come through your own health, physical capability transformation over the years, and you're doing what you do now. You're 70 years old now, or thereabouts?
You know, you and I have the same argument every time we talk. I'm 70 years young.
Well, there you go. So I don't object to the use of the word old.
Okay.
I think the word old should have a positive connotation to it. I think you ask a child, how old are you? And they'll say, I'm 10 years old.
Uh-huh.
Old to them doesn't mean old and decrepit. It's, okay. It's just the passage of time. It's the number of years. So whether you want to say, it's not a big deal.
Okay.
But whether
okay.
you want to say 70 years old or 70 years young, in my mind, they mean the same thing. It's
okay.
just a chronological calculation of how old you are. And the reason I kind of make a big deal of it is that people will use the word old mm-hmm. about themselves mm-hmm. in a negative sense. And uh-huh. sometimes as an excuse
right.
for not, oh, I'm old, I can't do that anymore. Well, actually, yes, you can, because mm-hmm. old can be seen in a positive way. And the other good things, and you should be talking and not me, but the good things about being old are the wisdom,
yes.
and especially the wisdom that you can pass on to your children.
Yes.
People always say to me they want to live as long as possible for their children, and you achieve that through positive aging. So we might be splitting hairs.
Yeah. Seriously, Peter, ask any of them, with all of the money they've acquired, what is one thing they're hanging on to? One, they don't want anybody to take care of them. They want to get up out of the chair. So that has to do with frailty. You know, they want to play with their grandkids. They want to go to a wedding. This is all the longevity stuff that we're talking about. This is where, it, like my grandmother used to say, this is, let's put it where the goats could get it. Let's go down to the root of the issue. People want to live. And so how do we help them live at the best level possible is the question. And that's why we're all here now scratching our heads saying, you know, what is the best way to do it? And I'm going to suggest to you that you need a full 360 model.
So I raised your age because I was going to actually compliment you and say, Nate, you're looking pretty damn good. You're doing something right.
Hey, it's the company I keep. You know, I love you. I love your work. I love your energy. And so I can't come on your podcast and and not look the part. I want to make sure that it radiates between you and me, that it is a mutual understanding that we're on a journey together and we're going to do everything we can to take care of ourselves. Because that's the only thing, when you think about it, Pete, that's the only thing we got, our health. Our health is our wealth.
Well, you know, I could have said that. I mean, it's exactly what we say. And I often phrase it like this. Imagine the worst times in your life.
Mm-hmm.
What are they usually connected to? Ill health.
Mm-hmm.
To the ill health of yourself
mm-hmm.
and those close to you.
Yes.
Those are the worst possible times. And if we could do something just to alleviate those situations, or better still, to prevent them and delay the inevitable, that's to the greater good for all of us, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't have said that any better. So one of the pieces for us is, you know, helping the person you used to be, right? Because you're always coming out of something. And so now you're going to be something else. How can I be a better grandfather? How can I be a better spouse? How can I love some people more than I love them, you know, than I love myself? But understanding that I got to love myself too first. But how do you become that? I've never been those things before. I mean, I'm learning. You know, I watch other people do it, but now I'm trying to put it in place for me. You know, how do I make decisions, Peter, that are in my best interests? And that's some of the stuff that we're talking about now with, you know, it's mental stuff, this aging. Because when you get older, I can give you a prime example for me. Peter, I could be looking for my keys and have them in my hand. What do I do with my keys?
We all do that.
What is that? Or forgetfulness?
Yeah, we all do that. But, you know, think about it. You probably did it 20 years ago as well. So it isn't always symptomatic of being too old and too forgetful. You mentioned that phrase of loving yourself,
right?
Which is often derided as just a line, just a phrase. But I think it's crucially important, because not only loving yourself, but caring for yourself so you can be in the physical condition, the best physical condition possible to care for others. And oftentimes the last question I'll ask people is, why do you do this? Why do you have a passion for this? And I would say 95% of the time, the answer relates to caring for or being around for other people and for younger people, for children. And that's not only sharing wisdom, but it's caring for, it's educating, it's helping through life with what you have learned over the years. So looking after number one is crucially important.
So let's be clear, and I agree with you 100%. What I do, I'm in the self-care business. I am in the prevention business along with self-care. So, you know, when you get on the plane, this is old trite stuff, right? Put the mask on yourself first before you put it on somebody else. That's what we're talking about. You can't love and take care of other people when you're hurting. Goes back to the whole mental health thing. Got to get down deeper and get honest with ourselves. And that's what we're saying, is that Sheba and I are saying real talk for real people. Don't let the condition manage you. You manage the condition. You know, my aches and pains are not any different than yours, but I say I would rather have that feeling than to have some other one. What do you think about that?
I think you're totally right. And you absolutely hit the nail on the head. Let me ask you this. You travel around, you've just been to Los Angeles, it's a constant process of education for you. How do you see, as far as the work is that you're doing is concerned, how do you see the next decade? What are your goals? What are your aspirations?
So we see sort of a way of doing this work in a holistic approach, that there needs to be a team of people who actually work on the whole person. We cannot just work the physical part, come to a class, go to physical when the whole body is there. So we need a group of people that actually work with a person, whether it be, you know, exercise or your cardiologist or whatever you have. That team is actually working, and they can work together to make your life, you know, better, because that's what's really at issue, is how do I live a better quality of life? So I see that happening. But, you know, we've kind of danced away from AI. They already have AI applications, you know, that people can use to actually tell them what to do, almost like you have an instructor. So that's happening. You know, the metaverse is happening. But I don't know if you've done that.
Well, taking the human side out of it, though, which clearly AI is doing, mm-hmm. there's no human interaction there. To me, it doesn't seem like a positive thing. I think we all know that in the way that I use AI to transcribe interviews, but it makes mistakes. Mm-hmm. It still needs a human touch mm-hmm. at the end of the day. And I think the way that AI, I mean, it's very early days, but the way right. that AI can be and is being incorporated into exercise still needs that layer of love and attention that a human being can give to it to make it truly effective.
You and I haven't had this conversation, so I'm going to say you're so right. And that, I think, is the piece that is, in some instances, maybe the saving grace, the human touch. See, a machine, while a AI bot can pick up an egg with the delicacy that you need without cracking the egg, but can they touch somebody in such a way that makes them feel? Can you move their body in such a way, or can you talk to them with such understanding that you become together, and the technology can't, at this point, can't do that. But for you know, you ask me about the future. I think we have to understand that too. I think we have to understand that what's happening with, that's why I'm here. Understand what's happening with all the new technologies and breakthroughs that are happening. I mean, it's fast. It's almost like if you get out there on the interstate and if you get in the wrong lane, if you need to make your turn, you may have to go 5 miles out of the way to come back right back to the way you want to go, because things are going so fast. So you and I, it's contingent upon you and I to stay on the cutting edge of what's going on if we want to be a part of this new vision. So that's what I think is happening. This one thing that I do, I'm drilling down on pro-aging and longevity, and I'm going to stick to it. Because I can help other people, but I can also help myself.
Well, it's a good way to end this. And it's a point that I often repeat myself, pro-aging as opposed to anti-aging. I'm all for positive, healthy aging. I'm not trying to turn the clock back. I'm not against aging. My view, and a lot disagree with this, but my view is that aging is a positive chronological process. It's going to happen to all of us. And the goal, and it's emphasized in the title of this podcast, that the goal is to master aging and to do it in the best way possible, rather than trying to deny it or to reverse it.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
I'm glad we agree. Nate, it's always been a huge pleasure to talk to you. We could probably continue this conversation for another couple of hours, but for now, we will talk again. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Peter.
Do it! Do it to it! Come on! 5, 4, come on! 3, 2, A-teamers hold it right here. A-teamers are holding right here. Come on, A-teamers are holding. Fight back. Suck your stomach in like a plank. 4, 3, 2, 1, on your feet.
This podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. We do not offer medical advice. If you have health concerns of any kind, or you are considering adopting a new diet or exercise regime, you should first consult your doctor.
FlexBeam is a portable red light therapy device that's now being used by leading athletes, including the Norwegian tennis player Casper Ruud.
Whenever you put the FlexBeam on, you feel it starts to work right away. I need something that can help repair all the fibers that I have broken in the serves.
The infrared lights penetrate your skin and makes the muscle tissue recover faster. FlexBeam, I keep it with me all the time.
Recharge Health is offering Llama Podcast listeners an $80 discount on the purchase of a FlexBeam device. Go to the website recharge.health and use the code Llama at checkout. That's LLAMA. You'll also find the link in the show notes for this episode.